Tonight, the death of O.J. Simpson, the former murder defendant, disgraced football star and actor dying of cancer. Dangerous weather taking aim at the Northeast, and the staggering sum Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter is charged with stealing. First, O.J. Simpson dying of cancer, the famous murder defendant at the center of the so-called trial of the century. Simpson charged with the brutal murders of his ex-wife Nicole Brown and her friend Ron Goldman. The slow-speed chase watched by 95 million people on live television. His arrest, trial, and stunning acquittal all playing out before America. His later conviction and parole in 2017 in a separate case. A remarkable fall from grace. The Goldman family reacting tonight. Matt Gutman in Los Angeles. Dramatic home security video capturing the moment a tornado strikes in Florida, sending debris flying in this backyard. Tornado and flood watches from the Midwest to the Northeast. Heavy rain and winds gusting up to 70 miles per hour. The system now making its way from Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia to New York. Rob Marciano timing it out. U.S. officials tonight warning embassy personnel in Israel to be on alert amid fears that an attack from Iran on Israel is imminent. Iran vowing to retaliate for Israel's airstrike, killing several military leaders at its consulate in Syria. Mary Bruce at the White House. The abortion battle in Arizona, 24 hours after Republicans blocked Democrats from repealing the 160-year-old abortion ban, doctors already describing chaos and confusion. Rachel Scott in Arizona. Tonight, the former interpreter for the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, now accused of stealing even more than first reported. $16 million from one of baseball's biggest stars to pay off his own gambling debts. Three castaways stranded on a deserted island in the Pacific for more than a week. Their resourceful signs for help finally getting them rescued. And America Strong tonight, the family reunion. The dog missing for 8 months found more than 2,000 miles away.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday night. I'm Whit Johnson in for David. And we begin with the death of O.J. Simpson, the football star and actor whose trial for the murder of his ex-wife and her friend riveted and divided the nation. The entire saga playing out on national TV. This is the moment in 1994 when O.J. Simpson's life went global. Police had just named him a suspect in those brutal murders. He then led them on a slow-speed chase, network TV breaking in, covering it for hours, 95 million people watching. The so-called trial of the century was also televised live, lasting 11 months. Simpson's lawyers, known as the Dream Team, turning the tables on the prosecution and police, casting doubt on key pieces of evidence, including the bloody glove found at the scene. Simpson's lawyers insisting over and over, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. And that's what the jury did, finding Simpson not guilty after deliberating for just 4 hours. The verdict, a split-screen moment for America, exposing the hidden fault lines of race, celebrity, wealth, and justice that still resonate today. ABC's chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, leads us off in Los Angeles.
Tonight, O.J. Simpson, one of the most polarizing figures in American history, dying of cancer at the age of 76. His family saying O.J. succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. The news coming just 2 months after Simpson told fans he was on the mend in this final video.
My health is good. I mean, obviously, I'm dealing with some issues, but hey, I think I'm just about over it.
O.J. Simpson sprinted to the NFL Hall of Fame as one of the greatest running backs of all time. Known as the Juice, he transcended sports, soaring to fame as a beloved sportscaster.
Nobody does it better than her.
Overcoming obstacles as an actor and TV pitchman. But it all came crashing down in 1994 after the grisly murder of his ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman.
Today, Mr. Simpson has been charged with two counts of murder.
The case transfixing the country. 95 million people tuning in to watch the slow-speed chase along an L.A. freeway. Police tailing O.J. in his Bronco.
Absolutely 100% not guilty.
Americans riveted by the gavel-to-gavel coverage of the trial, and Simpson's lawyers dubbed the Dream Team, arguing he was framed by racist police. That unforgettable moment, O.J. trying on those gloves.
And the gloves didn't fit. Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Prosecutors arguing Simpson had physically abused Nicole for years, playing her 911 calls.
911 emergency.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Well, okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
What is he doing? Is he threatening you?
Going nuts.
But in the end, prosecutors unable to convince the jury.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder.
That not guilty verdict revealing an extraordinary split screen across the country and laying bare a racial divide. Crystallized here in the audience of the Oprah Winfrey Show. Many black Americans saw Simpson as a victim of racism. Many white Americans stunned that he could be exonerated. And two families left devastated.
Ron and Nicole were butchered.
Simpson was found liable for the death in a civil suit, ordered to pay $33 million in damages, but he paid little.
This is something that would be attached to me for the rest of my life. And no matter what happened, I truly to this day still believe that the truth will come out.
Simpson even tried selling a manuscript titled If I Did It, which he called a hypothetical account of the very murders he had denied committing. The Goldman family was outraged, a judge awarding them the rights to the book, which they published under a new name, If I Did It, Confessions of a Killer. Years later, their pain still raw.
Has it lessened more than 20 years later?
Mm-mm. Not for me. He's a vicious double murderer. He's a narcissist.
Tonight, the Goldman family saying in a statement, the news of Ron's killer's passing is a mixed bag of complicated emotions and reminds us that the journey through grief is not linear. 13 years after his acquittal for the murders, a jury convicting Simpson in a different case, an armed robbery in 2007, stealing his own memorabilia. He served 9 years, finally granted parole in 2017, and settling down and mostly avoiding the limelight in Las Vegas.
And Matt Gutman joins us now from Los Angeles. Matt, we know the Brown and Goldman families fought for years to recover compensation from that civil judgment. Where does that stand now?
With the Brown family has been notably quiet over the years, hoping to maintain a relationship with their grandchildren. But the Goldmans telling us tonight they have received very little of that $33 million civil settlement judgment. And despite Simpson and those murders fading from the spotlight in recent years, they say they have never stopped fighting for accountability. Whit.
A remarkable case. It has a lasting impact on this country. Matt Gutman for us. Thank you. Now to the other major news on this Thursday night, the severe weather threats as we come on. This tornado here slamming St. Augustine, Florida today, 14 confirmed in the past 2 days, and a flash flood emergency in Tallahassee overnight, leading to dramatic high water rescues. And tonight this storm is on the move, taking aim at the Northeast. ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking it all.
Tonight,
it's a confirmed tornado.
A massive tornado ripping across St. Augustine, Florida, snapping trees like twigs, damaging homes south of Jacksonville.
Initial units arrived on scene, started triaging structures immediately, assessing any injuries.
Home security camera video showing the moment the twister tore through this backyard, sending debris flying into that pool. Martin Newman's patio furniture wrapped around a tree.
Just checking, making sure everybody's okay.
Millions on alert tonight for more tornadoes, damaging winds, and torrential rain.
Oh!
A flash flood emergency in Tallahassee overnight, leading to high water rescues.
You're good, man.
Watch as officers use a rope to guide this family to safety in rushing waist-deep water.
Oh, my God.
The same deadly storm system that triggered 14 confirmed twisters from Texas to Florida over the past 48 hours, now barreling into the Northeast.
So let's get right to Rob Marciano, just back from the tornado zone in Louisiana. Rob, time out this storm threat right now.
Well, with the main severe threats have moved from Florida up to the north, and we've got flash flooding and tornado watches that are posted for Ohio, eastern Kentucky, and a big chunk of West Virginia, which is really getting slammed, including Charleston, with heavy rain and flash flooding right now. The low itself is intensifying as it moves into the Great Lakes. That radar will be expanding and filling in all that rough weather gets into the Northeast tonight. D.C., Philly, New York, overnight tonight, you'll hear it on your rooftops into Boston as well. On and off rain showers throughout the day tomorrow. And the winds are really going to kick up. Look at some of these gusts, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, and those will last all the way into Saturday. Whit.
And we know you'll be tracking it for us, Rob. Thank you. Tonight, the State Department issuing new travel restrictions for U.S. government employees and their families in Israel. This warning comes amid growing concern that Iran could retaliate for Israel's attack on the Iranian consulate in Syria. ABC's chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce joins us now. And Mary, sources say an Iranian strike could come any day now.
Whit, tonight the Biden administration is bracing for Iran to strike Israel, possibly, I am told, in the coming days. The president has warned that Tehran is threatening a significant attack. And we have learned that tonight the top U.S. military commander in the Middle East is now in Israel to discuss this threat. The State Department is also putting new travel restrictions on U.S. personnel in Israel. Iran has vowed to retaliate for the attack on its consulate in Syria last week that killed several Iranian commanders. This is exactly the kind of escalation that President Biden has now tried for months to avoid. The big question now, how would the U.S. respond to an attack by Iran? I have pressed the White House on this, and wait, for now, they're being tight-lipped.
All right, Mary Bruce, we'll stand by for news on that. Thank you. Now to the abortion battle in Arizona after the state Supreme Court ruled a law from 1864 that banned nearly all abortions will take effect in a matter of weeks. State lawmakers left town without taking action. Doctors already describing chaos and confusion. ABC's Rachel Scott in Arizona tonight.
Tonight in Arizona, doctors describing chaos and confusion after the state's highest court upheld a 160-year-old law banning abortion in all cases, except to protect the life of the mother. Arizona state legislature was expected to swiftly repeal the law, but Republicans blocked that effort.
Shame on you!
And Dr. Jill Gibson at Planned Parenthood tells me the impact is already being felt.
What have you been experiencing the last 48 hours inside of this clinic?
Patients are already saying that they're looking for means of getting abortions through other means, looking for pills online.
Arizona's Democratic Attorney General Chris Mays says she won't enforce the law, but concedes she can't stop local prosecutors.
I would urge Arizonans who are pregnant to make a plan. And I can't believe I'm having to say that, but it's time to make a plan for 60 days from now. If something goes wrong, if you need an abortion, if you want an abortion, start thinking about California and Nevada and New Mexico or Colorado.
Voters could ultimately decide the issue in November, when Arizona and as many as 13 other states could have abortion measures on the ballot. And the law has become a flashpoint in the race for the White House, where Arizona is a key battleground. Donald Trump says he's proud to have appointed three of the five Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe versus Wade. But sensing political quicksand, he now says abortion should be left to the states.
It was an incredible thing, an incredible achievement. We did that, and now the states have it.
Now Trump says Arizona went too far. But President Biden says by appointing the justices who helped overturn Roe, Trump cleared the way for 21 states to ban or severely restrict access to abortion. And tonight in this state, these billboards going up, abortion is banned in Arizona thanks to Donald Trump. He won't stop until it's nationwide.
But there's a lot of uncertainty here in Arizona. The Supreme Court put that ruling on hold for 14 days. But tonight, the state's attorney general tells me that it could be an additional 45 days before that law goes into effect because of a separate lawsuit. As for the White House, they want to keep this issue in the spotlight. The vice president plans to visit Arizona tomorrow. Whit.
Rachel Scott in Phoenix tonight. Thank you. Now to the Biden administration taking action on gun safety with a new rule requiring background checks on buyers at gun shows. Here's ABC's Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas.
Tonight, the Biden administration requiring more firearms dealers to be licensed by the federal government, closing the so-called gun show loophole that allows certain dealers to sell firearms without conducting background checks.
Today, the Justice Department is issuing one of the most significant gun regulations in decades.
According to the White House, over 20,000 unlicensed weapon sellers do business online or at gun shows, potentially allowing domestic abusers or felons access to guns without a background check.
Today's new action furthers the Biden-Harris administration's historic efforts to stop the illegal flow of guns and hold those who supply firearms used in crime accountable. But there's still much work to be done.
With this is far from a done deal. DOJ and administration officials are expecting litigation to try to block this new policy. The NRA saying tonight they are, quote, working to use all means available to stop this unlawful rule. Whit.
Pierre Thomas tonight. Thank you. We have new details from the federal charges against the former interpreter for Major League Baseball star Shohei Ohtani. Prosecutors accuse the former interpreter of betraying Ohtani's trust, robbing him of a staggering $16 million to cover his gambling debt. Here's ABC's Victor Okendo.
Tonight, federal authorities charging the former interpreter for baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani with stealing more than $16 million to pay off gambling debts, clearing the Los Angeles Dodger of any wrongdoing.
Mr. Ohtani is considered a victim in this case. There is no evidence to indicate that Mr. Ohtani authorized the over $16 million of transfers.
Authorities say Ipe Mizuhara committed fraud on a massive scale, acting as Ohtani's de facto manager, alleging he helped Ohtani, who didn't speak English, set up a U.S. bank account where his multi-million dollar salary was deposited, the interpreter later impersonating Ohtani to steal from that account.
How do you think it is that Shohei Ohtani didn't notice that so much money had gone missing?
Mr. Mizuhara took very detailed steps to make sure that he had control of the account and that no one discovered what he was doing with the account.
Court records stating Mizuhara placed approximately 19,000 wagers from December 2021 to January of this year, ranging from $10 to $160,000 per bet. The interpreter netting a loss of $40 million, but stating they do not reflect any bets on baseball games.
Mizuhara allegedly admitted to stealing from Ohtani, texting his bookie saying, "Technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me." He's expected to surrender to authorities tomorrow. Whit?
Just an incredible amount of money. All right, Victor, thank you. When we come back, the amazing rescue in the Pacific, three castaways found on a deserted island after leaving signs for help on the beach. And the couple accusing a tow truck driver of trying to hook their car while in traffic.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Next tonight, a remarkable rescue in the Pacific. The Coast Guard saving three fishermen stranded on a remote island in the Federated States of Micronesia. Their boat was damaged by rough waves. They used palm tree branches to spell out signs for help. A Navy jet spotting them from the sky. They survived for more than a week before being found. When we come back, the tow truck driver accused of trying to hook a couple's car while they were driving.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Index tonight, a couple in San Francisco accusing a tow truck driver of trying to hook their car while they were driving. Video shows the tow truck repeatedly trying to hook their vehicle while stopped at an intersection. A couple able to get away. The tow truck chasing them for several blocks. They say they're planning to file a police report. The tow company has not commented. When we come back, the family dog missing for months in the surprise reunion more than 2,000 miles away.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Finally tonight, America Strong, the family dog that went missing, and the surprise phone call from across the country.
This is the emotional moment when Liz Human and her daughter Lily are reunited with their dog Mishka.
Oh my gosh, we missed you so much!
The 3-year-old Chihuahua Terrier mix went missing from her home in San Diego nearly 8 months ago. The distraught family posting more than 1,000 flyers around their neighborhood.
Whenever it rained, it just broke my heart. Like, wherever she is, I really hope that she's safe. That was scary. That really hurt my heart a lot.
But then in late March, a surprise phone call from an animal rescue.
We received a call from the police department. They had recovered a dog that was running in the neighborhood. The first thing we did was scan her for a microchip, and we had a bingo. She had a microchip.
Little Mishka had been found more than 2,000 miles away in a Michigan suburb near Detroit. How she got there, still a mystery.
So we called them, and the wife answered the phone and started screaming and getting all excited and emotional. And we learned that the dog had been missing for 7 or 8 months.
The family on vacation in Minnesota, Mishka's dad, Mayrod, jumping in the car to pick her up, driving 20 hours round trip to complete this joyful reunion.
Happiness, just pure happiness, pure shock. We're still processing, I think, that she's here.
Quite an adventure. Good to see little Mishka back home. Thanks so much for watching tonight. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. Have a great night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.